Okay, well, if you can turn your sheet now to the back page, you'll see an outline of what I want to talk about this morning, and also a verse there that I want to talk about. It's the verse on the wall behind me, and it's there on your sheet. It's a verse from a psalm, Psalm 34, a psalm of David, and it says this. You'll see it there on the sheet. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I have an orange here. A lovely, juicy, fresh, refreshing orange. What does it taste like? Well, if you've had one, you know, don't you? If you've had one of these, an orange like this, you know, you've tasted it. But how would you describe it? I mean, how would you describe to somebody who's never had an orange what an orange tastes like? That's quite difficult, isn't it? Especially to somebody who hasn't tasted it. But if you had an orange with you, you wouldn't spend a long time trying to describe it to them, would you? You'd just go, have a taste. Have a taste. Try it. See what it's like. That's what you would say. That's what David's saying in this psalm. Taste is a wonderful thing, isn't it? God has created the tongue as an amazing part of the body. It's a muscle, isn't it? And for some of you, it's the muscle that gets the most exercise of all. But it's got taste buds on it, hasn't it? It's got hundreds and thousands of tiny little taste buds on it that detect taste and flavor and texture and send signals to your brain so that you know what you're eating. And it's a wonderful thing. And it's right this morning that as we come and we just acknowledge the variety of tastes and flavors in the food God gives us and the ability to taste them and to enjoy them. That's how God's made us to be, hasn't he? Well, in this verse here, in this psalm, this psalm is like a song, a poem. There's a book of them in the Bible, and this one's written by a man called David. David was, he lived about 1000 BC, and he was the king of Israel, and he wrote quite a few songs. And in this one, he's encouraging us to taste something. He's encouraging us to try something that he's tasted and that he's enjoyed. But it isn't food, and it isn't drink, it's God, who he describes here as the Lord. You see, in this psalm that David writes, he's writing about the Lord. He writes about how good the Lord is and how the Lord's blessed him and how the Lord's met his needs, how he prayed to the Lord and the Lord had answered him. He writes in this psalm about how good God is and of the joy of knowing him and walking with him and trusting in him. And David then, in light of that, is saying to his readers, and he's saying to us this morning, don't just take my word for it. Taste for yourself. Try for yourself. Discover for yourself what God is like. And that's what I want to encourage you to do today, to taste for yourself, to try for yourself. You see, the Bible says we weren't just made for food. We were not just physical beings. We are made to eat and to enjoy food, but ultimately we're made for God and to enjoy God. We need food, but we need God. The Bible says we're made in the image of God. That means we're made to know God and appreciate God and enjoy God. And yet the trouble is we often choose to ignore him and try and live without him. That's what sin is. And David's saying to us, don't do that. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So you'll see we've got three questions then this morning. How do you taste? Who do you discover? And what do you discover. So you could say taste and see, or you could say taste and discover that the Lord is good. So how do you taste? How do you taste as David is encouraging us? Look, we know how to taste an orange, but how do you taste God, if you like, as David is calling us to do? Well, you see on the sheet again, I'm suggesting to you three things that you need to do to taste as David is calling you to do. First of all, you need to open the Bible. You need to open this book, the Bible, this amazing book, because this book tells you about God. It's his book, this book that's shaped history and changed lives. You read the Bible and you discover not what you think God's like, but what he's actually like and what he said and what he's done. This book tells you about God and about yourself and about life and death and heaven and hell and truth and error. That's what this book does. And you read this book and you open this book and it tells you about Jesus, God's son, and what he's like and what he said and what he's done and what he promises. That's what this book is all about. That's why I want to encourage you to read it, to open the Bible. Do you do that? Perhaps you haven't got a Bible. We've got copies of Mark's Gospel. There's lots of them down there. If you've not got a Bible, you can take one of those home with you. Even if you've got a Bible, and you can take one of those home with you as well. And read. Open it. Taste. Taste. Perhaps some of you come along here every week, but you don't, during the week, open the Bible. You don't taste. Is that true? Could that be true of you this morning? Perhaps you've come here and you've not really ever read the Bible, but here it is. You can open it. You can taste. You know what some children, actually not just some children like, but some adults as well, when you try and get them to taste something, and they go, I won't like it. I know what it's going to be like. I'm not going to try it. I don't want to try it. And you go, come on, maybe you'll like it. They go, no, I know what it's like. I'm not going to like it. Perhaps some of you children are like that, some of you adults as well. I find a lot of people are like that with the Bible, you know. They've already made up their minds beforehand that they're not going to like it. They won't try. They say, people say, it's full of mistakes. It's full of contradictions. It's hard, and it's all about it's judgmental. And you say, well, tell me something. Well, what have you read? And they haven't read anything. And they've already decided, like a child going, no, I'm not going to like it. And they've got their own idea about what's in it and what it says and what God's like and what Jesus is all about. And they don't really know. They've never really opened it. They've never really tasted. Don't be like that. Taste. Open the Bible. Read it. And then what's next? Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Pray, in other words. Speak to God. That's what David's done, and that's what he's saying to us to do. Taste and see. Open your mouth. Speak to him. Tell him your life. Tell him your sorrows. Tell him your secrets. Tell him your sins. Ask him to forgive you. Open your mouth. Have you done that? Have you ever done that? Ever tried that? Ever tried praying? Ever said, Lord God, if you're out there, please show me yourself. Let me understand you. Let me know you. Have you ever done that? Perhaps some of you have opened this book, but you've never opened your mouth and prayed. So if you're going to taste, you've got to open the Bible, and you've got to open your mouth, and you've got to ask God and to show himself to you and tell him everything. And then you've got to open your heart. In other words, you've got to trust yourself to him. The second half of the verse really is, in some ways, is an explanation of the first half. That's often how Hebrew poetry worked. So it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man, the person, the one who trusts in him. So that's what the Bible's calling us to do, isn't it? To trust God, to believe in him, to open up our hearts to him, if you like. So tasting, as David's calling us to do here, is not like, again, if you perhaps you manage to get the child to try something and they take the teeniest little, you go taste it and they take a teeny weeny little bit that they could, you go, you'll never taste it if you do put that much in. You've got to put a bit more in. And in a sense, if you're going to taste God, you've got to open your heart up to him. You've got to trust him. That's what that word says, isn't it? Blessed is the one who trusts in him. Now, that word trust is an interesting word in the Hebrew. It really means to take refuge in. So here's somebody, they're in trouble, they're in danger, they need somewhere safe. They're, perhaps there's a storm coming, a hurricane coming. We've seen some of those, haven't we, recently on the television. There's a hurricane coming. They need shelter. They need a refuge. They need somewhere that's going to keep them safe. And that's the picture here. And you might say, well, what do you mean, Hugh? Why do I need a shelter? Am I in trouble? Is there a storm coming? And the Bible is honest with you and says, well, yes, actually, we're all in trouble. Because we're all sinners. We've all broken God's law. This God who's been so good to us and given us everything, he calls us to do two things, if you like, to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And we haven't done it. We've loved ourselves. We put ourselves first. We've forgotten God. We wanted to be gods of our own lives. And that puts us in danger because we're moral beings, aren't we? We're accountable beings. We all sense that. We've got a conscience. And the Bible says this is a moral universe and a judgment day is coming, like a big storm. And we're in trouble. So what do we need to do? What do we need? We need a refuge. We need someone to run to and trust in. And that's what God is. So you open your Bible and you read about God and you read about Jesus and you read about sin and salvation and hope. And then you open your mouth and you speak to God. And you open your heart and you trust him. Have you done all those things? Perhaps you've done one of them. Perhaps you've opened the Bible and you go, oh, you want that? But you haven't really cried out to him. Or perhaps you sort of prayed a prayer, but you've not really opened your heart fully to him. That's what it means to taste. Let's hurry on. Okay, so you taste. You do all those things. What do you discover? Well, first of all, who do you discover? Well, what does David say? Taste and see that the Lord is good. So, who do you discover when you open the Bible and you open your mouth and you open your heart? You discover the Lord. So that's a specific name for God in the Bible, isn't it? We discover the Lord. We discover who? We discover this awesomely great God. So whatever your view of God, he's bigger than that. Whatever you think about God, he's greater than that. This name Lord means I am. Some of you children remember the occasion when God told Moses that at the burning bush. He told him his name and it means I am. And it reminds us that this God is eternal. He's unchanging. He doesn't need anything or anyone. He's the creator of everything else. We say, where does this world come from? And how is it all kept going? And it's God's. He made it. And he kept it all going. And you go, ah-ha-ha, well, where did he come from? And who keeps him going? And the answer is, no one. He's the uncreated one. He doesn't need anything. He made time and space and matter, and he's outside of it. He's just God. He's the Lord. But he's not some force. He's a real person. So he's made us in his image. So that we think and we communicate and we love and we have relationship and we have all those things and do all those things because that's what God's like. He's a real personal God who speaks and loves. And when we open the Bible and we open our mouths and we open our hearts, we discover this great God. And we discover that he's a triune God. You say, he, whatever does that mean? It means this, that he's one God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This amazing God we can't fully comprehend. He's one and yet he's three. And forever, before he made anything, he was there in a relationship of love and unity. And we say, okay, we open our Bibles and we open our mouths and we open our hearts and we discover the Lord and we discover this great God, but we discover the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you say, how does this God make himself known? Well, he's made himself known in a person, in this Jesus Christ. Our Bible's all about Jesus. He's God's Son come from heaven. So you can take away Mark's gospel and you can read what he did, things that he did that only God could do. And you can read things that he said that only God could say. And yet you read about him being born and growing up and being tired and crying and needing food and dying. So he's really a man as well. And when he was here on earth, he said things like this. He said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. And we're being invited to taste, to trust him, to try him, if you like, and find that he's fully able to satisfy you. Or he said something like this. He said, whoever's weary and heavy laden, let him come to me, and I will give him rest. And you're being invited to come and taste and give him your burden, your sins, and your guilt, and your trouble. And find that he in him is rest. That's what you're being invited to. That's what David had discovered. As he'd opened the Bible, he'd opened his heart and his mouth, he discovered the Lord, this amazingly great God. That's why the word taste is such a good word, because it speaks of experience. So we're not here about some dry, dead ritual. Perhaps you've always thought Christianity is a religion of rules. You couldn't be more wrong. You've been wrong about that. Because it's a relationship of love. Because as you open the Bible and open your mouth and open your heart, you come to know Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who came into the world to be our Savior. So that's how do you taste? And who do you discover? And then what do you discover? Well, you discover this, that the Lord is good. That this great God, this triune God, this wonderful Savior is good. Now, what does that mean? Well, first of all, it means this, that he's absolutely pure and holy. He's utterly good. He's utterly true. There's nothing wrong in him at all. He loves what's good and he hates all that's wrong. So that's a bit alarming for us, isn't it? Because we're all sinners. We've said that. We know that in our hearts. And here's this God who's pure and holy. And we go, oh, this is a bit scary. And in a sense, that's right. But if that was all that was to say, that would be scary. But he's good in another sense. He's good in that he's kind and he's merciful and he's gracious. So you open the Bible and you do read that God's holy and he will judge sin. But you also read that he loves to forgive, and he's made a way of forgiveness in his Son, Jesus Christ. Because where do we find out most clearly that God is good? It's at the cross. Because it's there that we find out that God is holy, because he's not going to just sweep our sin under the carpet and pretend it doesn't matter. He's going to deal with it. But we also see that he's gracious, because there at the cross, Jesus died in our place as a sacrifice for our sins. So that as we come and trust in him, we know forgiveness and mercy and pardon and peace with God. We discover how good God is. That's why, again, look at the second half of the verse. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. What does blessed mean? It means happy, truly happy, a happiness that comes from knowing God's smile. You see, we look for happiness in all sorts of things, don't we? And there's many things that are good things. All the blessings of this life, relationships, they're all good things, aren't they? But But there's only one thing that will make us ultimately happy, eternally happy, and that's being right with God and having a relationship with Him and having our sins forgiven. David knew that. Every Christian knows that. And the invitation then this morning is for all of us, taste and see, discover that the Lord is good. And that would be what I would say to you this morning, from my heart to yours, from the Bible, through me to you, that I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Been good to me, a sinner like me. That I've known this God so good to me, saving me, loving me, hearing my prayers, meeting my needs. He is good. And I'd say to you, try Him. Open your heart to Him. Open the Bible. Read it. Pray to Him. Open your heart. Trust Him. And find that He is good. Some of you have been coming along here for a long time and you've not really done that. Some of you perhaps turned up just for today. And you've never heard about it. Well, here you are hearing today. Come, taste, see, discover how good God is. That in Him is found true life, eternal life, true joy that can never be taken away.